Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrew.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Shalom and bless you. Greetings. Hallelujah. Can I please get a sound check? Welcome to tonight's show. I'm your host of tonight's show, Sister Ashley, here in the Lafayette, Tennessee, Straightway Truth Ministry location, the hub. I don't have Mother Jennifer with me tonight. I have a special guest that Mother Jennifer doesn't even know about. Hallelujah. Drum roll for my audience. It's my beloved Deacon Bell. Yay. Yes. And you can't see him, but he's right beside me as always. Hallelujah. Leading me. I'm excited. Thank you. Welcome to the show, Deacon Bell. If you don't mind, just give it a shout-out or a sound check.
Hallelujah. Bless you, saints. My pleasure to be here with you all tonight. From sister to sister. Hallelujah. Hope I'm coming in good. If you can all hear me, let me know. Hallelujah.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. Praise Yah.
Hallelujah. I've asked you before, Deacon Bell, to come on the show. What have you always said?
No. The sister show.
The sister show. No. Hallelujah. Hey, we got 19 weeks until our feast together. It sounds a lot when I say like 131 days. So when you think of 19 Sabbaths, it will fly. It will fly by. What'd you say, Chef? All right, Tens in the chat room. Bless you to everyone scattered. Bless you for your time. Bless you, bless you. Chris, Sister Chris says, wowee, on my text. Hey, we got a little something. We don't know what we got yet. I'm going to tell you a true story. Before we get off into this wonderful show that I've been waiting all week for, I wanted to give a special shout-out to my sister, Ajani. And I ask my audience behind me, audience, please say shalom.
Shalom.
Hallelujah. We got, how many we got tonight? Six? About six sisters, maybe?
Yes.
Yep, six it is. And welcome one of my young daughters, Sister Anila. Hallelujah. She's back behind me, too. So before the show, I said, hey, I'm going to ask y'all to give a shout-out to Ajani, a little something special. A little, the way we do it. All right, hold on. I'm taking my mic out. Ajani, this is for you. All right, we need to hear y'all. And here's the thing. Ajani, you wouldn't believe that we were trying to practice something for you just before the show. I can't bring it out, Chef, because it's intertwined. Like the, yeah, hold on. All right. We were trying to practice, and they were giving me a hard time saying that we can't practice, that it's got to be organic and straight, fresh, and all that good stuff. And so I said, y'all don't fail me, because this is for my sister. I said, only about 45 seconds, not 30 minutes or 2 minutes or anything. All right, let's hit it. This is our sister. Come on, we love her. Let's let her know.
We have my BB.
No.
Chad.
Let's go.
Anila, Amira, and Yaor.
Yes.
On the beat.
Let's go, let's go. You heard it or heard them. I couldn't stretch the mic as far as I wanted to go. But Ajani, we love you. Bless you. And Sister Wenda says, shalom, time to blow the shofar. It's a new moon, the ninth month of Tislu. Ninth day of the month of Tislu. Hallelujah. Thank you to the chat room. I wanna kick it off, I guess. Do you know what I'm going to ask you, Deacon?
No, ma'am, I don't.
No, hallelujah. Everybody's scooting up a little bit, sir. Thank you. Thank you for coming to the show. We've had this talk before. Do you remember when we got married? When was it? Look, he's looking at the calendar.
2010, July 2010.
July of 2010, yes. And as a joke, if you guys don't know Deacon and I, but I say we've known each other almost 16 years. We courted 3 years. We've been married the rest of that time. And as a, as our humor, I would say, don't you want to marry me again, Deacon? And you know what he says? Go ahead and tell him what you want to say.
No.
But tell him why you said no.
I forgot now.
You always say, I'm not going to make that same mistake. I wish you guys could see his smile. Hallelujah. Joyful noise.
We have fun.
Yes, we do have fun. Thank you for everything you have done and for molding me. I say it as a current, like, present term. I have some clips I want to play tonight, Deacon. I have, of course, some questions I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to pull from your experience. You've been with... Or on the land since, what,
99? Yeah, January of 1999.
January of 1999. Hallelujah. And I have been here since late 2007 when I started listening. I moved after that. Hallelujah to everyone on the land. Bless you to everyone here at the Hub. I hope that you were all able to get something out of this dialogue tonight. I've looked forward to this day, wanting to bring him on, and I'm sure Mother Jennifer is smiling wherever she is, if she's able to listen. I gave her tonight off so that I could ask Deacon some questions and kind of pick his mind. He's full of the word of the Most High, and that word has always molded me and our conversations together. And I honestly wanted to start tonight, Deacon, with reading a few clips out of the Hordes of Hell Are Marching. Do you know a little bit about this enough to introduce what it is?
There's a vision of a man named Rick Joyner. I believe he was either sleeping when he had it or he was awake when he had this vision. But it was a vision with him seeing an evil army, and the Most High showed him. That's what all I remember.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir. So I'm going to read this, and I hope that you can interject if something comes to mind, and if not, we're going to build our show. Is that okay? This is a different dynamic for me and Deacon, but because, of course, I first want to state that we're not a robotic marriage. What would that mean to you?
That would mean that I push the button, you say yes, master, no, master, and you're like I control you with my fishing pole, direct you left to right, up and down, and all. All that kind of stuff. Or just a woman that you're a woman with no liberty to breathe or move or to think on your own.
Hallelujah. We are not that way. Dude, trust me, Deacon Bill.
Yes. Very much.
I want to give everyone, the reason I asked him early on in the show is, do you know what I'm going to ask you? And he said no. He was willing to come on, and I'm actually willing to throw myself out there in front of all of you as a wife, asking him personal questions, even in relation to our marriage, so that you will see some of the – is everything okay? You're good? All right. Sakina stepping in to help me out. You'll get to hear he's not going to lie for me, and he's not going to lie for you, and I'm not going to hold back on my questions that will actually – pry a little bit into our relationship, and I'm going to do it on purpose. So I hope that some of you hear our love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Deacon, again for coming, and thank you for loving the Mosiah and his people. It's been very evident to me. You've created a lot of boundaries for me by exhibiting your self-control. You have taught me boundaries with my speech and limitations that I should approach you with, and I just want to share that tonight. I want to start off by reading The Hordes of Hell Are Marching, and as he introduced, it was a man's vision or a man's dream. It's very, very interesting, so please don't get bored. It's very applicable to your life and to the war that we are in. So, yes, give me some information in the chat room as we move forward tonight. If you enjoy anything, if you have any feedback, or if something touches you at all, let us know. Thanks for tuning in. It says here, this man, his name was Rick Joyner. I saw a demonic army so large that it stretched as far as I could see. It was separated into divisions, with each carrying a different banner. The foremost and most powerful division were pride, self-righteousness, respectability, selfish ambition, and unrighteous judgment. But the largest of all was jealousy. The leader of this vast army was the accuser of the brethren himself. And I knew that there were many more evil divisions beyond my scope of vision. Let me pause for just a moment. We have a very small, almost four-month-old. Nadia, will you take this to Cheyenne and please give it to him? Thank you so much. All right. It says, I knew that there were many more evil divisions beyond my scope of vision. These were the vanguard of this terrible horde of hell that was now being released against the church. The weapons carried by this horde had names on them. The swords were named Intimidation. The spears were named Treachery, and their arrows were named Accusation, Gossip, Slander, and Fault Fighting. Scouts and smaller companies of demons with such names as Rejection, Bitterness, Impatience, Unforgiveness, and Lust were sent in advance of this army to prepare for the main attack. I knew in my heart that the church had never faced anything like this before. The main assignment of this army was to cause division. It was sent to attack every level of relationship. This was one of the main points, Deacon, I wanted to bring up.
I was going to ask you to stop there anyway.
Yes, okay, go ahead.
Well, I mean, look at division. I mean, that's something, if you remember, years ago we had that prophecy in the tabernacle. The Holy Spirit spoke to us, your unity is your protection. And so when you look at Satan's army coming to cause division, that's a good weapon to destroy the body, because it's not that which is without that can destroy us that we have to worry about. It's that which is within. And so if any time anyone, any of us saints are housing the devil and giving them amnesty or insulating every evil spirit within us, you know, just to cause division, you know, amongst the brethren, sisters, whoever, at any given time, and we make ourselves available to the devil, that is just a good tool. That's a good weapon, because, you know, if you get a house divided, it cannot stand. You know, Jesus said that. So, you know, Satan don't cast out Satan. But Satan will come in and use that division to cause confusion and just to, you know, to hinder the body. Like Pastor always says, like about the body being short-circuited. You know, who's short-circuiting the power amongst them? You know, you're a willing vessel of the house of time to, you know, to handle the work of the Most High.
Hallelujah. I think that fits our first clip.
Oh, okay.
So let's pull this up, Deacon, while we build our conversation. Thanks again for tuning in. Here we go. Listen to Shabbat service. This was called Murmuring Just Last Shabbat. Here we go. Let me check my sound.
How many accounts we see and we go right back to our people coming from Egypt? That as soon as something didn't go their way, there was always people to give voice. What did you do? Bring us out here to die? There's the viper. What? Are you the only one that can hear from y'all? There's no way in hell we can take that land. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to produce our own captains, and we're going back to Egypt. Y'all never read these accounts? That's why even in June, he takes us all the way back to the outcoming from Egypt, going into the wilderness. See, what we need to do is we need to face the fact that while we're on this journey, right now we are in a wilderness experience in exile to Yah before we get to the kingdom. And so it will behoove us to take good account of what happened with our people back then, and especially paying attention to their behavior. But they go and plant the same line of questioning in others. In other words, if something is not done the way you think it should be done, and you go and look for someone to ally with you by putting forth the way you see things. Number two.
All right, before we go to number two, he mentioned how you see things. Let's go back to the article. Did you have anything to add before us?
No, go ahead.
All right. We're still building, y'all. Back to this story, it says, it was sent to attack every level of relationship, which is another reason why I brought Deacon, which is my covenant agreement and my relationship. The demonic army was sent to attack every level of relationship. Churches with each other, congregations with their pastor, husbands to their wives, children and parents, and even children with each other. And these scouts were sent to locate churches, families, and individuals that any rejection, bitterness, or lust could exploit and make a larger breach for the divisions that were coming. So if you can imagine even dreaming this, if any of you had this individual dream, you know, seeing this demonic army rise up with the visions of pride and self-righteousness and selfish ambition, and, you know, the largest of all of them was jealousy, and they all have their banners, and you were really seeing it as real as it is, then it would have such an incredible impact. But anything to add, Deacon, to them being sent to attack every level of relationship?
Well, yeah. When we look at, first of all, you just look at that army. What does this sit? And if you can, just look at, have your mind that that's an army that's coming against straightway as a ministry. You know, your community that you live on, the Saints of the World community, your home fellowship, everywhere that you the Saints are assembling. You know, I'm just making it specific to straightway. You know, I'm not worried about the world out there, any other people, any other camps, groups. That's not my concern. My concern is straightway. And so the enemy's coming. You look at that enemy coming against us as a people. You know, all of us, the tribe of straightway. Then how many of you out there, my ancestors, are the open doorway for these enemies to make a breach? What was it? Some of a jealousy, envy, whatever it was.
Yes, they each had a different banner, and pride, jealousy, yeah. Unrighteous judgment.
Yeah. So who's opening the door for these men? Is it you over here? You down there? You know, who's been the person that submitted to Satan's will? You know, and like it talks about attacking relationships. Well, how's it going to do that? How's it going to do that?
By allowance,
yeah. So if let's say two sisters get in an argument, you know, having a family feud, going at it, you know, being vessels of Satan, because, you know, all of a sudden you got this conflict going on, and especially if neither one wants to obey the word. Let's say two sisters get into it over processing deer. Let's say Sister Ashley, you didn't wash the meat the way the sister up the line from you likes it, and, you know, and so then she has a fit or whatever, tantrum, you know, cusses at you, then she walks out the kitchen. And then you go try to run it down. Hey, look, sis, let's talk about this. Trying to make men get peace going back.
Gain
your sister, so you're going to her, but then she won't hear you. You know, of course, what Pastor said to us many a times, we got a lot of problems happening in the ministry amongst us because nobody wants to follow the pattern of the book. You know, you get off with your sister, go to your sister. Don't go to the person next sister in line. Well, hey, did you see what that sister said to me, Sister Diane? You know, that's it was not. You see what Nadia said to me? Man, what's wrong with her? And if Diane was righteous, she said, Sister Ashley, look, you need to take care of that with your sister. You know, go to her. You know, if y'all can't sell it, then get somebody to help adjudicate the matter.
It says here that they opened themselves to the powers of darkness to such a degree that the enemy could use them, and they would think that they were being used by the Most High. And the accuser knows, just as you said, the word says a house divided can't stand. So this army had actually represented his ultimate attempt to bring such complete division to the church that it would completely fall out of the Most High Yah's grace.
Mm.
And so just as you mentioned, you know, let's say it's processing deer or the many other things that are going to happen as you have this many people come together and deal with themselves, iron and iron. It takes a lot of humility to approach the word correctly. And a lot of things go under the radar with women. A lot of things are not dealt with, Deacon. And we are motivated or pushed or it's spoken of to for us to do things right and to go to one another. But there's so many factors that stop us and bind us. And, of course, fear being one of them.
I can see that. But, you know, women are very, you know, very emotional. Of course, you say that, in this modern generation, people get pissed off. But, oh, well, get pissed off. If you... You know, because women are ruled by a lot of their emotions. They get, you know, if you're getting emotional, that overrides the word most of the times. You know, because pastors even say that to sisters, so your emotions aren't the word. Don't be ruled by your emotions. I don't know how a woman thinks, how y'all operate and feel in that regard. So I'm not sure how that kicks into y'all's mind and takes over, where your emotions override everything that you know and make you you know, uncontrollable or override reasoning or logical thinking. But maybe you explain that. How do women process, let's say, when they're being challenged? How do women process thought when they're being challenged, especially in relation to the word? Can you answer that?
Yes, the feeling is actually just like you would feel nervousness, anxiousness, anger, you know, maybe some of the emotions that are, of course, given to a man, the way that you would have to fight or reject it, the way that you do, it's given to us a hundredfold, I guess I could say, or because we're weaker vessel, it's a continual manifestation within you to deny the anxiety, the anxiousness, the fight or flight, the anger, the response, the rejection, based on so many broken circumstances early in our life. And so the Most High, you know, has his hand out to heal us from that, and I experienced it, as well as some of the righteous have experienced a really thorough cleansing and washing, so you can rid yourself of those emotional responses. But one thing, my sisters, that another reason I brought Deacon on was I went to you and I asked you, have I ever brought something that I'm going through, a circumstance, about anyone? And we've been together, I've said this already, almost 16 years, 3 years of courtship, of respectful boundaries at that time, and then, of course, married since 2010. But have I ever brought to you a situation about anything or anyone ever in that entire time that challenged you in your brotherly love to someone else?
No, ma'am.
Never.
No, I never allowed that, your circumstances or situations that you were dealing with, to affect my heart that way.
Hallelujah. And that speaks for your maturity. And that's one of the reasons why I brought you. Because have you ever told me shut up?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Plenty of time.
And I think that's important because early on, I didn't have boundaries and I needed them. And they were taught by you. And even they were taught by you, even if you didn't speak a word to me, because of your fear of the Father. And so it didn't. Have you ever sensed a rebellious attitude or nature in me that was not going to do what you said or do what the Father said?
No, never. Because you've always, whenever you were going through something, you've always been the type of person that I've observed in this walk. I've always been the type of person, whenever you're going through something, your heart has always been to get it right. You always admit, I know I'm not right. I know I'm wrong. And you've always striven for the Most High to get things right that you were wrong in. So I can't say that you ever had that rebellious type of attitude in that regard where you weren't going to obey.
Hallelujah.
You're going through it, but you weren't rebellious in that regard.
Yes. I don't know how you're going to answer these questions, so I'm literally throwing myself out there. So, hallelujah. You know, because I don't know what you're going to say. Have I ever brought to you very challenging situations?
Yes, ma'am, you have.
Yes?
You have.
What would you add to that? Like, of course, you had to guide me or direct me.
Well, yeah, I had to give you some situations. I've had to give you much direction. Like, one in particular, sometimes in particular, you come to about situations dealing with sisters, especially in areas of where you've been given oversight and they don't want to comply with the wishes or with what you placed on them, and I'll tell you that, well, you go tell that sister this, and don't tell them Deacon said it. And I tell her to go to that person and say this, say the things that I give her to say. And of course, this Ashley had that look on her face. Oh God, I don't want to go say that. And I tell her, don't change what I said either.
Right.
And then she handled things in that regard, the way I instructed her to do it. And it wasn't a burdensome challenge, but just, I just never know what to expect from day to day sometimes. I never know what was going to get thrown on the plate or come across the table that would need to be dealt with.
you said to me that you never had drama in your life until you married me. So I throw myself out there. Deacon Bell did not have any drama until he married me. And is that a sad case? Absolutely. But there's nothing that I can do about it. Let's go back to this. Or did you want to say anything or share anything before I read on?
Go ahead.
All right. It says, back to the Hordes of Hell are marching. I believe you guys could get this on maybe PDF. It's a really good read. Girl Barb, do you have it on audio? Is it on audio? Anybody know? Nobody knows? It's published in a book. Okay. Hallelujah. Grandma Barb, how many years have you had this?
That particular
hotel they read from? Yes, ma'am.
It's going back before 16 years. We had a
closure. Absolutely.
Pastor read it to us in this fellowship hall years ago, too, when we used to have my fellowship nights.
Pastor read it.
Yeah, Pastor read it to us.
And Grandma Barb, if you didn't hear, she said over 16 years ago. These were some of the really good reads that regardless of the denomination or religious background of the writer, it was still so impactful that we, you know, some of those early days of, you know, the Wynn Worleys and the A.A. Allens and Jack Coe, and no matter what they claimed to be, there was a power of the Most High that was with them. So this was one of the reads. But did you want to say anything else, Grandma Barb? About it?
No, I do know that Sister Brittany does have, there is more to this than what we have.
Sister Brittany.
Extra
okay, I wonder if Sister Brittany is able to, are you listening live, Sister Brittany? Here it says, trailing behind these first divisions, okay, and we're still talking about the divisions that were separated, this demonic army, okay, and of course, one of them had to be murmuring, right? One of that pastor just spoke. It was such a good Sabbath service. I have truly murmured. I have been friends with murmurers. And I think we should all be, I guess, aware, self-reflective of our situation, who we are, what we've done, like just bear it all before the Father. And
turn a blind eye to our spirit,
yes,
to our flesh,
yes,
to the nature that's working within us.
Yes,
you know, we got that murmuring spirit within us. I mean, the word of deliverance came forth last Sabbath, and, you know, so it was kind of crucified and put it under, get it under the blood and walk in the newness of life.
Hallelujah. It said, following behind these divisions was a multitude of believers that were actually prisoners of this army. Okay, so let's just say that was us, all of us. And it says they were all wounded, and they were guarded by little demons of fear. There seemed to be more prisoners than there were demons in the army. Surprisingly, these prisoners still had their swords and their shields, but they didn't use them. It was shocking to see that so many could be kept captive by so few of these little demons of fear. These could have easily been destroyed or driven off if the prisoners had just used their weapons. Any thoughts?
Well, yes, it's a shame that such a small force of demons could rule over the body of Christ like that. I mean, Jesus gave all power to heaven and earth was given unto Jesus. He gave power unto us, you know, all the, you know, power over the enemy. So we shouldn't be bound by fear, because Yah's not giving us the spirit of fear, because fear was mentioned, demons a little fear. I mean, but
there's true fear, Deacon, that grips women.
Okay. But yeah, the fear of, like, going to your sister.
Yes, absolutely.
Says true, Sister Nadia? How strong was that fear?
Oh, really strong. It's strong.
So,
almost as if it was choking your throat.
So like a gorilla on your chest choking.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes,
wow,
sir. Absolutely. Because you have in your own mind or in its presented mind, if I can say, the accuser of the brother.
Let me interrupt you for a minute. Our sister's hard to come go to. You know,
yes.
Wow.
You was going to say something else, right? We cut you off. Yeah.
That's good. Everybody should be approachable. Everyone should be approachable. You shouldn't have to armor up like Iron Man before you go deal with somebody, have to talk to someone. But let's just be truthful. We know everybody's not agreeable. And what's the word say about with the Proverbs 31 woman? Are all your sisters Proverbs 31 women?
Striving to be.
Striving to be, hallelujah. So where is that law of kindness that in women when you should be able to approach one and not be fearful? So are sisters working on the law of kindness in y'all's in the opinion of your sisters?
No, absolutely not.
So that's what gives this all of its strength.
Yes.
Is that...
I got a scripture. Let's go to it. All right. Where you want to go?
Sirach.
Sirach. Let me see if I got it. All right, y'all. Go with me. Hold with me. Sirach 25. Let's see. Yes, sir, over there.
So that was like verse 19.
19. Right here.
Yeah, read that one. Just
all wickedness is but little to the wickedness of a woman. Let the portion of a sinner fall upon her.
Sisters are pretty wicked then.
Absolutely.
Women are pretty wicked. If you can't be approached, can't be talked to, can't be admonished, can't be entreated. You remember Sister Ashley, what was that the Elder Becker told you years ago about entreatment?
About the word entreatment?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my goodness. What was it? You got me thrown off, Deacon. What was it? Entreat.
He told you to learn how to entreat.
Yes, he did teach me how to learn entreat. I had a very cutthroat mentality. I had a very critical mind when I came in. And matter of fact, not to justify myself because I was 100% wrong, but to say where it came from was just like this said in the Hordes of Hell. It says the believers had opened themselves to the powers of darkness. To such a degree that the enemy could use them, and they would think that they were being used by God, by the Most High, I believed that my critical thinking was coming from what Pastor was preaching and teaching. Mm. Right? He's telling us what we need to do. He's saying it in a black or white manner. He's leaving no room for error. It's very, like, clean, clear. This is how I'm hearing it, right? This is how I'm perceiving it. So why the hell ain't you applying it that way then? You. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's where the criticism came in, because you immediately become self-righteous. Not you, me, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yes, sir, that's my answer.
And all wickedness is but little to the wickedness of a woman, that the portion of a sinner fall upon her. You know, what's the portion of a sinner? Where does sinners end up?
Absolutely.
Do a lake of fire.
Yes, sir.
So, sisters, I admonish you to change your way.
Right. The way to escape eternal torment is to avoid sin.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, you look at that first one. All wickedness is but little to the wickedness of a woman. I mean, damn.
It's without end.
Yeah, but y'all's women's wickedness is on a whole nother level. Yeah. Like you said, you can't even go to each other. I mean, that's even operating in a way that's stronger than the word. When that fear that binds you, or the wickedness that binds you from being able to obey the word of the Most High, in that regard. Because what y'all are feeling, you know, the pressure from another sister, you're worried about the resistance you're going to get when you go to her, or the hatred that she's going to throw at you.
Or who she's going to tell.
She's going to tell, because the communication thing is destroying relationships, destroying your reputation. Well, hey, I'm going to run to the other back, and you said this to me, and I'm going to tell so-and-so, and I'm, you know, get your name all out there, and then I'm going to bind you that way so you won't say nothing. Just to keep you trapped under my thumb. Of course, I'm not saying Elder Becker's pooch, not to believe everything somebody says either.
Right.
Or pastor or anybody else, but, you know, but people, human nature, demons do like to try to control people.
Right.
Through the fears and all that kind of thing.
I came here, Deacon, with a so-called better way. So much so in my mind, and praise the Most High Yah for the endurance of the saints, because I now get to reciprocate that endurance to the others who come behind me thinking they got all the answers. But I came here thinking I had answers because I was seeking an approval, you know, seeking a place in the body, what I could give them, you know, mm-hmm. how I can fit in because of my rejected past. And one of the things that I did, and I've even, pastor knows, mother knows, I tore Mother Carol down to her own husband by offering my better ways and the things that she wasn't doing. And I talked to, you know, I talked to both of them, and was, you know, in years past, even with a repentant heart, like I didn't have, you know, when you see things a certain way, Deacon, as a woman, there's just no getting into it, you know, and that it's just by the mercies of the Most High Yah that He would work on a conscious, the consciousness of a woman. I mean, just by that verse alone, that and it's like, you mean to tell me, women, that you can't find things to repent for continually when the root of evil is tapped into your mind? You know, it's tapped so deep into our mind. Deacon, I've been a part of things like this. Am I going too fast?
No, go ahead.
Like
no, this? Go ahead.
Thank
well,
you. Yes.
No, go ahead.
I've been a part of different dynamics in relationships. Okay, so if I'm going to help somebody out, for example,
mm-hmm.
and this, you guys that are listening, this is how, you know, I will approach Deacon with Yah's fear when I ask him certain things, too. I would say, okay, I got this sister who's needing my help. Sister A needs my help, and this is what's been done and said against her in her perception. And then unbeknownst to Sister A, Sister B comes to me at another time and says, this is what's been done to me and said to me. And both of them sound really justifiable if I didn't help them by the word of Yah, not by feelings, not by my emotions, not by my favoritism, right, which is what you've taught me, simply by Yah-fearing truth, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do. Neither one of them truly know that the devil is all up in it and swayed both their minds against each other. And some women will dig in their heels to be so self-justified in how they feel against the person who has wronged them, not knowing that that other person feels the exact same rejection because of what you've done to them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
well, that's one of Satan's battle tactics there. They can pit you against each other, keep that wedge there. You know, he's got legal grounds in the relationship. He succeeded in destroying that relationship. If no one, especially the person who's dug in and doesn't want to repent, doesn't want to turn and get the relationship restored. I mean, because when you got any type of situation, you should be looking for restoration. You know, and if you two are against each other, point at two sisters. If you two are against each other, you should be looking to get the relationship restored, no matter what happens. At the end of the day, I mean, you know, especially with something petty. Now, granted, some pastors even taught us that sometimes you need time to get your heart right. But if you haven't even got to the point where you can even get to reconciliation, there's something wrong. We can't even discuss it and get on the road to, you know, getting reconciliation and restoration with each other. There's that you know, you totally get over to that spirit. You let it lock in and lock you down. You know. In disobedience to the word, you know, and that's totally wrong with sin. And the thing is, so when women do that, just to answer that last part, you know, when they get so justified in their mind, y'all tell me, do women really want to come out of that? Especially spiritual women, you know, this is well, the devil has you deceived though, so.
Right.
get past that deception. I mean, you know, men can be guilty of that kind of stuff too. You can get offended, whatever, and operate the same kind of way because they're justified. I've seen many people leave this ministry justified in themselves, men and women. You know, seeing that work is not, you know, so it's nothing new under the sun. But but at the end of the day, you're still wrong. I mean, they still need to turn from that. And I've never seen anybody come back and say, hey, I was wrong. I shouldn't have left this way, operated in this way in the ministry and that kind of thing, you know.
It's really, you know, do you remember what you said, Deacon, when you came in the dining hall? Do you remember the instruction that you gave me yesterday? Do you know where I'm going with this?
Uh-uh.
Okay. When you said...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You remember? What'd you say?
I told you to play some music in the dance hall because there's a heavy spirit in there.
Yeah.
You know, you flip on the glove and praise for the spirit of happiness.
Right. He walks in. What were you going to do? You were going to get something out of
the
cabin.
Get the trash bag, yeah.
Get the trash bag. Where were y'all? Y'all were out, like, processing deer?
No, we were working at Mother Dow's house. Mother Bud was working on the stove. We did the trash bag, just clean up for her.
Okay. And we had at least, let's see, 15.
There was a lot of women in there.
Was there any men in there?
No.
It was all women in the dining hall. And you, and repeat, please, say.
I told her to put some music on because the spirit was bad in there.
Yes.
It was bad. It was thick in there. You walk in there, like, damn, I'm getting choked. Like y'all say, about that fear spirit choking you when you got to go to a sister. And that 50 gorillas jumped on my back. I'm like, good God.
Yes.
What in the world going on in here?
Yes.
I mean, I remember years ago, pastors got, because he went to the dining hall in the kitchen and talked about how bad the spirit was in the kitchen at times. And, you know, Tom talks about that. And sometimes, you know, I remember in my early years, I was like, what's he talking about? How can you feel spirits? I had no clue. didn't understand that good enough. You know, but now having some time under my belt, now I understand when I feel spirits, but just at the time, you know, it didn't make no sense to me. Man, Pastor must be crazy, Jason. You know, he's spiritual. I was just too carnal. I couldn't relate. And even at that, some of these people who had these, you know, people with their, they get locked in by the devil and their offenses and their fears and self-justifications. I mean,
they don't even know.
They don't know. Well, yeah, they don't know that. Yeah, that's coming from them. And Satan is using them as his launch pad, his attack platform now. You know, they're the weapon in his hand. Instead of being Yah's weapon, you know, they're Satan's weapon to tear up the body of Christ.
It says they were all wounded, guarded by little demons of fear. Let's go back. It says, above the prisoners, this is interesting to me. Above the prisoners, remember, we're back to the hordes of hell are marching. There was a demonic army so large, okay, over the people. It says, above the prisoners in the sky were black. Oh, I'm sorry. The sky was black with vultures named Depression. These would land on the shoulders of a prisoner, I would say even a believer. They would land on the shoulders of the prisoner and vomit on the prisoner. And the vomit was called condemnation. And when the vomit hit the prisoner, he would stand up and march a little straighter for a while and then slump back over and get even weaker than ever before. And again, he says, I wondered why the prisoners did not simply kill the vultures with the swords they were holding, which they could have easily done. Occasionally, a weak prisoner would stumble and fall as soon as he or she hit the ground, and the other prisoners would begin stabbing them with their swords, scorning them as they did so.
See, right there, that's them using the word of Yah and unrighteousness right there. They now, all of a sudden, they know how to use the word, you know, justify themselves in their own sin instead of dealing with the devil that's keeping them oppressed. Now, they're able to fight their own brothers and sisters with the word. Instead of fighting the true enemy. But when
you're spiritually
blinded there.
I'm looking for a verse 2, Deacon. It says.
What's the question?
Okay, let me go to the chat. Thank you for the question. I'll work it in if it fits. 2 Peter says, they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. And I consider that when it's the epitome of selfishness that you would live on a community and come out of your home, wherever you are, to bring your foul spirit and your attitude and everything that you believe, you know, your self-righteousness to come out and affect the whole with that. It says, spots they are and blemishes sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they eat with you, you know? And if that's not fitting, obviously, to the people who could, we could do that. We could turn that on and off, that nature. It says here, let's see, how do you keep reaching out to someone who by action does not seem to want to be bothered with you? How many times would you even?
After the first and second admonition, reject. I mean, that sister, in the chat there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you keep reaching out, they keep rejecting you. Hey, if you've done your part, then it's on them. you know, depending on what the reason for the problem is, I mean.
Aren't they just going past, I mean, aren't they just feeding their own rejection anyway?
Yeah, yes, they are, by keeping the going back and getting rejected by that person. Obviously, they don't want to talk to you or they don't want to come to the table.
So you strengthen yourself by applying the word first or second admonition, right?
Yes.
And you don't continue to weaken yourself to your own rejection that you feel between you and that person.
Right.
By continuing going back.
Right. That's I wouldn't. I mean, that you don't try it. I mean, they won't open up or try to reconcile with you. I mean, leave them alone. Unless, depending on what the situation is, you might have to seek judgment.
The sister says, if we can't do this, we should not say anything unless it's in love. We shouldn't say anything unless it's in love, even if we're going, you know, to correct someone. It should all be by love.
You can't just, don't come just to destroy somebody. I mean, you look at Pastor's example, he might rebuke somebody, but he don't have a malicious spirit in his heart. Coming to correct somebody, reprove them, admonish them. But if you operate like that, you got the wrong spirit. You don't know what manner of spirit you are.
But how many people come as the carbon copy of Pastor Dow, whether male or female, and
That's another Pastor Dow that's running around that needs to be put back in the closet.
Right.
You put your Pastor Dow back in the closet and let the real Pastor Dow do his job. You know, don't you do his job for him.
Right.
Pastor's well able to handle his business. So he don't need anybody else doing it for him.
Hang it right by your Iron Man suit that you were talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. What about this, did you want to read the chat? These are no more questions. It was just comments, Deacon. So that was the only one right there.
Well, sister, if you're guilty of self-righteousness and need to repair relationships with sisters, go do it. It ain't hard. Don't sit there in condemnation with your self-righteousness. Repent and go and repair the damage that you've done.
With fear.
With fear. Cleanse the land that you've defiled with your self-righteousness. It ain't hard. It's not hard at all. But go humbly.
Hallelujah. Back to the sisters, as I watched, I realized that the prisoners thought that the vomit of condemnation was the truth from God. Once again, right?
Yeah.
Mixing the things that are...
That's why they're acting with the word now, because they think they hear it from God.
Yeah, I'm bringing the Sabbath message to you, you know. And you hear Pastor say that he, on the Shabbat, he was just talking about that, sister. Why ain't you doing it? You know, or whatever. I'm hypothetical, but it can get really, really hairy. Yes, sir.
No, I'll say that's when women just need to sometimes shut up. If you can't.
Where's your endurance?
Yeah, where's your endurance? Sometimes we don't just take past words out of context. You usually come be a hammer on somebody. I mean, you know, trying to beat you. I mean, the word, you already got beat by the word. You don't need them coming to add, put salt in the wound.
Right.
I mean, they see you down there crying out. They should get down there crying with you, as opposed to beat.
And you know, we have to learn, and we do learn who is obstinate or not, who is stubborn or not, who is walking in love or not. And sometimes, as a woman, or maybe it's a human characteristic, I don't know, but as a woman, you believe that others see as you see, think as you think, you know. And, I'll give you an example. If I don't have maliciousness in my heart towards a sister, then I have no idea that she does. Because I'm trying to, you know, get it right and use the word and apply love and take it to prayer and, you know what I mean, I'm doing all these right things. But honestly, Deacon, there are cutthroat women amongst us that don't got that same, you know, mind. I know you know that, but they even are guilty of spitting into their husband's ears and affecting the brotherly love between men.
Well, that's where the husbands need to exercise discernment when they're listening to their wives. You know, when the wife comes and talks to them, I mean, that's time to turn your hearing ear on and definitely discern how you're hearing, what your wife is speaking to you. You know, so any brother out there, you know, she comes and just starts rattling off, hey, you better be ready to check her at the door. You know, you look at Job. Oh, let me go there.
Yes, sir. You want me to find it here, or are you going to find it?
Yeah,
You got it. Okay.
Got it.
He got his cell phone out. Hallelujah.
Okay, yeah. Job chapter 2, verse 9. I'll start there. 9 and 10.
Yes, sir.
Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse Yah and die." But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of Yah, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. You know, so you see Job there checking his wife right there. He said, hey, you know, he heard what she said, had to say. Then the rebuke came up. The question came out. Hey, you're speaking as a foolish woman. Don't be coming over here like that. Don't be talking to me. Don't be saying that mess to me. You know, of course, not, you know, telling the curse of Yah and die. But, you know, my wife supposed to be just, you know, with something about a sister or a murmur or a complaint or something like that. I got to be willing to, you know, to take the sword to her words. Hey, stop that mess. Shut up. You know, so you're wrong in this. You know, your opinion is wrong. Don't give your opinion. In those kinds of ways. Just be willing to really just to, you know, admonish her, correct her, improve her, rebuke her, and exhort her. You know, all those things. And shut her down when she's, you know, spewing these things that could, you know, especially if my wife comes to me, tell me something, and next thing I know, I'm looking at Brother Freeman the wrong way. You know, let's say, you know, just say, Sister Bob. You and Sister Bobby got into it. And Nadia's sitting right here, and all of a sudden, Ashley wanted to look at Nadia, and then I asked her what happened, and then she tells me, and of course, now I got a case of the butt. I've been bit by the viper now. You know, you got to deserve when your wife's a viper or a vampire coming to inject poison in you. And then, you know, so now I'm now I see Brother Freeman, I got a case of the butt towards him. And he's like, what's going on with you, man? And then I'm working to destroy the relationship because based off what my wife has said. You know, there's a lot of things, too, with matters like if I have situations with brethren, I don't bring that to Sister Ashley. I don't include her in men's matters because she don't need to know that. Well, why would I fill her ears with things that she don't have no need to hear? You know, so it's like I don't want to poison her and weaken her. You know, we've heard Pastor use this analogy: the woman is the pickup truck, and the man is the dump truck. You know, so she's supposed to come unload. In a righteous way, you know, she needs to talk. Yeah, we can talk. Like, for instance, if she had a problem with her sister, I tell you what, you know, just to keep this thing pure behind it, don't tell me no names. Just tell me the situation. I'll advise you. And that way I'm not, you know, swayed one way or the other. Because sometimes, you know, people come to you to sway your judgment or to get your opinion on something or get your counsel on something. But really, they come to sort of your judgment. You know, as a deacon, I've had somebody come to me at times and say things that try to pervert my judgment. You know, of course, you know, I've had to, you know, after I sat and thought about, wait a minute, wait a minute. That got by me at first. After I had time to really sit back and learn and think about the conversation, because for some reason, you know, things are burning your conscience after you hear. I'm like, hold up, wait a minute. That devil slipped in that conversation. I didn't catch him. But I'm glad I woke up and in all the slumber I was in and was able to discern and had a chance to talk to that person afterwards and correct the situation. But when you when the wife is coming to you, especially as a man, you have to discern the thought and intent to the best of your ability. You know, you can't just bite the hook, line, and sinker and thinking that you know that she has everybody's best interest at heart all the time. Maybe she don't, but you gotta know the labor among you. You have to know your spouse. And if you don't know, you better learn. As far as the men go, and your sisters deal with each other, you have to learn your sisters. If you have a sister to counseling, you may have to learn her as well to figure out where she's coming from. If she's coming to sway you and get you as an ally on her side against another sister, you know, to pervert your love, to help foster division and destroy relationships.
I was thinking, Deacon, that, you know, in all the years that we've been married, you've never brought a judgment circumstance to me. You've never shared with me anything that you've sat in for deliberation. You've never communicated to me any matter that would, as you said earlier, weaken me. And that speaks, I believe, to your strengths. It also molds me without you saying words, you know, those boundaries and limitations that I have to have. If I'm coming to you in the early years and asking certain things and you're checking it and you're, you know, whether it was something as simple as shut up or something as simple as don't speak a name to me, and at times you would ask a certain name so that you could give me instruction on how to deal with that person. But other than that, you know, your character has really shined. And I know that I could kind of go so many different directions, but I wanted to give that as an example because you said early in the show when I said, hey, Deacon, do you trust me? And you said yes. And the reason I say that is because the heart of the man does safely trust in her woman in Proverbs 31, and that is where we're all striving to be, to gain that, you know, trust with our husbands. But then again, you also know your trust limitations because you don't dump on me the things that would jeopardize the trust, right? Or, you know, your boundaries is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You don't trust the woman that lays in your bosom.
No.
And I don't receive that in rejection because that's the word. You know what I mean?
Right, you should.
Yes.
But no, I mean, I know what to speak with you on and what not to speak with you on. Have I made mistakes in that? I think I told you something. One time I got loose-lipped one day and I said, hey, don't you ever repeat that. I shouldn't have told you that, but I had a case of the loose jaws that this one day, and I spoke something to Sister Ashley that I didn't mean to speak, but...
And I don't even remember it.
Oh, I'm glad.
You know what, Deacon? I remember, this is how it goes, if ever, and I say this over the course of all these years, my sister, this is like very few times, but Deacon would go, man, I'll tell you what, never mind. And he said maybe 3 or 4 times in all these years, and I wouldn't even know within my own self that... He's a man with such self-control over his lips that the Holy Spirit just checked him, you know? And that is what molds me because I see that dynamic of, okay, that's my heavenly creator and his relationship with you and you being my covenant and a savior of my body. I can go, okay, I can do that too. I can stop things at the door, you know, put a bar over my lips, and you've been a really good example for me. Can we go to a music break, Deacon? Would you like to say anything else?
No, go ahead.
All right. Y'all are here. Only for maybe a few more weeks or months. Here you go, buddy. Say, come and get me, Sister Cheyenne. Sister Cheyenne, I woke up from my nap. Bless y'all. Thank y'all. I thank y'all so much for listening. I hope you're getting some encouragement. And I do want to also say that as a leader's wife, and there are many of us, some of you have just recently had your husband ordained as a leader, I think that we should have a very, very high standard in our communication because we should build trust with the people. We should not be loose-lipped one to another. We should not have foolish relationships. And we should also always approach our husbands with great fear. And I think those examples are very important for the Most High to be welcome amongst the people. Hallelujah. All right, I'll be right back. Let's play a new song by Brother Chris Lee. Hallelujah. Sister Sakina, Straightway, Kansas, right?
Yes.
Chris Lee on YouTube. This is our brother. All right. Hope y'all enjoy.
That's my opening statement. Knowing that I open statement, if you ask me, he's the greatest. Cause when no one else could, he saved me. The truth, they don't want me to say it. Part of his works are amazing. Got the spread of life contagious. I should have been dead, but I made it. My whole heart, yeah, he replaced it. My sin did, yeah, he paid it. It restored my vision, no lazy. I was blind, now I see it's amazing. Ever since I was linked to a higher power, I was up for the majors.
Just only right to give it back. You're the reason why my mind's not gonna stay. Won't be afraid. I'm on a torture, so I'll stray from this back to face. I know it's a little way. Just feeling the moment, days, yeah. I took it that I'm not sure I'm afraid. I'm doing what I should say. So I'm commanding my day, yeah. Don't understand how to see.
Let's go back to the Hordes of Hell Are Marching. The Hordes of the Hell Are Marching by Rick Joyner. Okay, so it was either a dream or a vision, something that he shared many years ago. He said, as he saw this demonic army, he understood that the prisoners actually thought they were marching in the army of God. So these prisoners that were bound by these spirits actually thought they were marching with the army of the Most High. This is why they did not kill the little demons of fear or kill the vultures. They thought that the vultures were messengers from the Most High. The darkness from the cloud of vultures made it so hard for the prisoners to see that they naively accepted everything that happened to them as being from the Most High. The only food...
Wow.
The only food provided for these prisoners was vomit from the vultures. Those who refused to eat it simply weakened until they fell, and those who did eat it were strengthened by the strength of the evil one. They would then begin to vomit on others. When one began to do this, a demon was waiting for a ride, would be given, let me slip for a second. It says, there was pride, selfish ambition, and that was the nature of the division that they were a part of. So pride and selfish ambition was the nature of the division that they were a part of. However, this vomit made the believers feel so much better than the condemnation that they easily believed the demons were messengers from the Most High. Once again, this, and that's basically the end, because we're getting to just the end of page one that I wanted to introduce, Deacon. So you have weak prisoners that would stumble and fall. You have, when they would hit the ground, the other prisoners began to stab them with their swords, which are supposed to be their brothers and sisters by their side. You have vomit from vultures of depression that are coming out as condemnation upon the people that they're thinking is the Most High. It's a lot of deception. It's a lot of confusion. And
those angels, messengers speaking to them as well.
Yes.
But you look at the whole army, again, going back to what was said earlier, they're coming to destroy relationships on every level. You know, husbands, wives, churches, children, and all that. So when you look at that, what was that part? Pride and selfish ambition?
Yes, sir.
I mean, now, a lot of contentions come by pride. Some people who are full of pride, they're bringing a lot of contention to the mix. So you can look and see who's very contentious amongst the assemblies, causing a lot of division through their pride. Destroying relationships with brothers and sisters. You know, make yourself hard to deal with. Or selfish ambition. You know, you angling to be like Diotrephes, or who loves to have a preeminence, or just manipulate situations through your selfish ambitions to get your way, to get your will done, no matter what it is, no matter who you go to, and in that kind of way, you know. So these enemies, the enemy is using saints as vessels, and they're deceived, thinking they're here for the Most High. I mean, for instance, Sister Ashley's mother, Carolyn, making the menu, and all of a sudden, Sister Kena She's our weekly chef, Saints.
Chef, I have not told him anything. She's right there laughing. Look, he's the... Go ahead,
hypothetically, Chef. But they make the menu. And Sister McKinney don't like one of the items is on there. So all of a sudden, instead of just saying, hey, can we take that off? Listen, she goes to, she just goes, instead of talking to Sister Ashley, she says, well, hey, Ashley, instead of making
meatballs,
I want to make hamburgers.
Yeah.
But you say, no, I want the meatballs. Then Zakina goes to Mother Carol, says, hey, Mother Carol, I want to make hamburgers instead of meatballs that day. Would that be okay with you? And Mother Carol says, yes, Sister Kenny, that's fine. And then she comes back to ask her, hey, Mother Stock can make meatballs. Not saying that, not saying that she went behind her back going to Mother to get her away in that regard. That's all. I'm just using an example, Chef. But, that's somebody using manipulation for their own selfish ambition. They don't get their own will to do their own way. Women wouldn't do that, would they, y'all? What else do they do that in? Can you name it? Everything under the sun?
Oh, my God.
And now you're young. Children, you don't know this, do you?
I'm like, Anala knows who her examples are, and she knows who is not. As soon as you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are sifted as wheat.
It's true, and
Deacon, in Second Peter it says they speak evil of the things that they understand not. And that really can happen across the board. If you think about, you talked to me about a certain circumstance. This is why the show even came up, because you had communicated with a specific elder. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to share anything? You want me to just keep rambling?
Well, we don't talk about it pretty much anyway.
Yes.
Through the relationships being destroyed because of women's mouths.
Yes.
And weak husband's ear.
Yes.
And not discerning and judging what his wife's saying. It's spitting in his ear, and he's not having enough maturity. Once he's heard from his wife, all of a sudden his husband's, he's been infected. He don't have enough spiritual maturity to deal with a situation the right way. But let me say this too: talking to the elder, in other situations where that did happen, some of the brethren did have the maturity to deal with the situations righteously, which is good. So hallelujah. So there's a balance. We can't just come out here and hammer on the ones who are immature and not give the good reports too.
Absolutely.
So we got a balance here. But we'd like to see more people operate their maturity than immature. More people seeking to keep relationships intact or seeking to restore what they've been damaged, as opposed to just letting things go and not want to add any balm to the people's wounds. Because, like I said, we're wounded soldiers. Let me ask this. How many people do women wound with their mouths on a daily basis?
Millions?
Wow. I mean, is that a common practice for women to hurt each other?
And it's not just that. It's a common practice that when someone's hurt, they are selfish and don't notice or care. And so the sweet fellowship Brother Daniel talked about, Pastor Muir talked about, I don't know many women that's going to say the same thing, that they enjoy their sweet fellowship. Where is that at? Right? All right, Chef, you're part of the 1% or the 10% or whatever. And it exists. And like you said, with balance, it is growing in specific areas. But you have to be so determined to fall on the rock and fall on the sword and continually understand your weak mind and how you're given over to Satan so easily, as a woman. You have to continually stay so repentant. And if you understand your weakness, then you understand they have the same weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't, tit for tat. You don't self-justify because you're not weak in that area.
Right.
If we would see ourselves as one, right? And if we would see it like in that, did you want to say anything?
No, go ahead.
If we would see it like, Second Peter says, speaking things that they know not and sporting themselves amongst us, that really is what happens, because they don't acknowledge holiness. They don't acknowledge women who are righteous, because of self-righteousness.
Right.
They don't see the small lights
that are flickering, you know, and trying to be the nucleus and the standard, you know. Mm-hmm. They would keep to their own self and self-justify themselves. But when it says speaking things that they know not, that's, thank you, Father, it comes to my mind a couple times. That's what happens a lot, Deacon, because I think 100% of the time we could all fall into the third party in any relationship. And if I can give an example for those of you listening, if Deacon and I are party one and two, party three would be the person who didn't hear, didn't see, or wasn't there, or mm-hmm. got spit into, you know, got something shared with them. And I think, you know, from the top down, there's going to be that circumstance because somebody's going to go for help.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to go to somebody else and say, this happened, I need help. And 100% of the time, each of you, each of us are put in that circumstance to do right and to continue in love according to the word and to really start developing a righteous character about ourselves, not to be a trash can.
Yeah.
You know, so that's third party. Anything to say on third party?
Well, yeah, when the third party, well, if anyone comes to you, if the third party comes to you for help, you have to make sure you're not doing any unrighteousness in judgment. You know, you're hearing them out. If they come to you for help, they're like, well, hey, you know, they keep maintaining the integrity of the situation so that way they're not slandering the brother or sister. When they come to you, let's say specifically sister, they come to you with no intention of slandering that person. They just want help. It's like, I had this happen with a sister. What do I do? You can give them some godly wisdom, but make sure they go back and do what you instructed them to do, though. So that way you hold them, make them accountable to obedience. So that way they're not coming. They came to you. And then they go. Let's say they go to Sister Mar. Then they go to chef. Then you got 16 parties that went to. What they're really doing is sowing discord or causing destruction some kind of way. I mean, either they're afraid to go to that person, so they keep bouncing around. But if you get someone counsel, make sure you do some follow up. Hold them accountable. Hey, did you go talk to that sister since you asked me for counsel on a situation? You didn't give me no specifics, but since I gave you something to do, since you came to me, I talked to you. I'd like to know that you did right with what I gave you. You know, so at least try to hold people accountable in that regard. So that way, you know, they're not using your words as leverage against somebody. They may see some wisdom that you've given them, and if they're wicked, they find some way to twist it and come with your name against somebody else.
Yes, sir. And speak evil of the things that they sin not, right?
Yeah.
And not understanding that, you know, when something is in front of you, no matter what it is being allowed by the Most High Yah. Every dynamic of your walk, every dynamic of the faith in front of you, every relationship you have, everyone around you, these all play a part in your sharpening. And it's allowed by the Most High Yah. Sometimes a woman can look at the behavior or the, you know, something that's going on with another woman and be very judgmental about it, but they don't understand that Yah is allowing it, and Yah is going to work it out. And so we have to apply His truth and His word if we're going to involve ourselves in that situation or anything that's happening.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, going back to what you were saying about speaking evil and what they know not, I mean, every situation is not given for everybody to put their mouth on anyway. I mean, everybody's life and everybody's situation that they're going through, if it's not put on, it's not there for you to put on blast. They're dealing with stuff or going through. You may see them, observe them, but it's not your situation to judge, to interject your opinion in. To, you know, because they. Excuse me. So and then that's when you start speaking evil, because like, well, why is she acting like that? Why are they doing that? Or why is she talking to him? Why is he talking to her? Why are those two sisters together over there in the corner? Maybe the sisters in the corner whispering because the one sister's giving the sister some righteous counsel, which you couldn't give, but yet you got to put your mouth all on.
Yeah.
Yes.
How about you? Don't speak evil of things that you know not. Just mind your own business. Like Pastor said before, you don't need to know everything. Just mind your business. You know, like we see Pastor counseling a couple, giving marriage counseling. You don't need to know what they're getting marriage counseling for. Mind your own business. Oh, I know why they're getting counseling. No, you don't. Shut your mouth. Just stay out of it.
Tell us, it's easy to be the, what if I have to call that person that, like, armchair quarterback or whatever.
Yeah.
But tell us from your perspective, being in judgments or, you know, being in a circumstance at the table with some serious situations, how important mercy is. It's almost like mercy shows up, I'm sure, because as I've sat with the small scale sisters or women that I've helped work things out, it's like mercy better be there.
Yeah, mercy's a big part of it too, because we're not a ministry of condemnation. When you have judgments and situations, it's not there. The judgment's not there to destroy anybody. It's just there to set things in order, really. And you gotta have mercy in those situations. But once when you're in them. Because it's just, it's just y'all's way. I mean, now granted, some situations of, you know, judgment is had, and it's not so much mercy per se, but, you know, some things have to be dealt with the hammer, so to speak. I mean, but some situations, and that's not every situation, though. I mean, you know, the most odds of y'all balance. I mean, you might have 10 situations that you deal with, and only two people have got dealt with severely. And the rest of them got a lot of mercy, because let's say the level of transgression wasn't that great. In other cases, where the transgressions were great, they got severe judgment.
So, with coming into a ministry of order, and a lot of people coming in at the same time, a lot of fear is allowed, or it ministers to the people. Fearing judgment, fearing being kicked out of the ministry,
mm-hmm.
fearing their name being called, fearing open rebuke, all those things start ministering to your spirit for the first time ever, because it's never happened to you. You've never been a part of a ministry of order, and you surely don't understand mercy. You know?
Right.
But, yeah, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one thing, yeah. People have a fear of being put out of the ministry and that kind of thing, and just a fear of judgment. But, like, pastors try to teach us. Like I said, try to be. He's put it out there. You know, righteous man loves judgment. And plus, too, every situation you go into, you can't go into it just expecting the worst every time. I mean, yeah, you may get rebuked. You may get reproved. You may have to get told about yourself, whether you're right or wrong. But at the end of the day, don't be so fearful that you won't come, or so fearful that you think that all the judges are unrighteous.
Or that you fake who you are.
But just come to the table. Let the Most High deal with you when you get in that situation. As long as you're coming honest and righteous, you don't have nothing to fear. Unless you just know you're just straight wicked and have been grossly violating, and you need some serious harsh judgment on you. But every situation that saints go through, most people don't get put out of the ministry. Hey, the truth, a lot of judgments that I've been in, the few that I've been in, people put themselves out of the ministry because they don't want to abide by the judgment. Like Pastor gave an example of a couple of elders and stuff that had judgments. So only one elder stayed. All the other ones were in meetings and stuff where they helped give the judgments, but then when it came to time for them, they couldn't abide by it and left the ministry. And nobody put them out. They left them sitting left of themselves because, you know, they didn't want to abide by the judgment. And that's not just the elders either. There's been many of the saints that have done it as well, too, have left because they didn't agree with the judgment. But when you're sitting there, when you're in that court, that's not the judgment of men that's judging you. That's the judgment of the Most High Yah, because we're doing that. That's being done in the fear of Yah, executed in the fear of Yah, in his presence, whether they want to acknowledge it or not. So... But I would say don't have that fear of getting part of the ministry unless you know. Well, I tell you the truth, the people who are running dirty and grossly violating, they ain't fearing getting put on the ministry anyway. It's only the people who got a love for the ministry, a love for Yah, that are fearing that. Feel that spirit come on sometimes, like, oh, I'm going to get put out. Man, anybody put you on the ministry for chewing bubble gum? I mean,
right.
So, some of these stupid little things people are fearful of, that these little demons of spirits she's reading about that minister to keeping you bound, when you could just turn your sword on them. So instead of letting it destroy your relationship with the ministry, he's take you out. Just use the word against the enemy so that you're not a victim. And using the victim mentality, and maintain that destruction of the relationship you had with the ministry or those in it, in self-justification.
And, you know, since the, as you said, the judgments that go forth and the few that you've been a part of, it's not to, what was the word you said? It's not to, I don't know, excommunicate you,
mm-hmm.
right? Most people put themselves away. So bringing that back, we should also have a tenderness about ourselves when we're operating amongst each other on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
Month to month, year to year, we should not have that mentality either. That was very hard for me to get out of as a woman because of how hard life had made me. And so I understand enduring anyone else with love, trying to gain them out of it as well. You have a verse?
I'll keep reading.
Okay.
I got fun. Hold on.
Yes, sir. But I wanted to say that mercy should be in your mind to gain. And, you know, when someone comes to you for help, no matter the circumstance, as I always keep going back to those that sport themselves amongst us, speaking things that they know not, it's easy to do as a woman when you don't know that it's Yah himself that's, you know, sifting the wheat, sifting the chaff. It's Yah himself that is allowing these things to transpire and take place just to test you. And I also have a clip. Can I play it?
Yeah, please.
All right, let's go to the next one. Pastor Del Sabbath Service, Murmuring, 11-19-2022. Be right back.
See, the voice of negativity is strong because you already negative. You want to listen to somebody who thinks and talks like you do and sees things like you do. Faith is a little bit different. Now, faith is a whole lot different. You understand that? And the people wept that night. Now, mind you, from the beginning, they forgot that Yah had already instructed them, go. Well, what if he told them to go, then why they had to send spies? So we can watch our response. The murmuring, the complaining, the excuse making, the fear, the grasshoppers, the big men. You know, we come up with a resume of why we can't go there now. But what did y'all say? Tell me, we forget that we're servants of Yah. Uh-oh. And we become faint at heart. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses. Y'all seeing that? And against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would Yah that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would Yah we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore have Yahweh brought us unto this land to fall by the sword? Let me see. So the sole purpose of Yah doing all these miracles, signs, and wonders to deliver you out of Egypt, out of which you cried unto Yah, all these many centuries and stuff to be delivered, all these many years to be delivered from the Mizrites, right? And then finally the deliverer come, should have known it was in our spirit anyway. Soon as Moses showed up, we start murmuring. Then this is us. Moses does a miracle. Yay! Pharaoh does one. We're going to die. We're going to die following this man. This man going to get us killed. No. Watch this. Yay! Pharaoh said, what did I say? Oh, boy, we better, you know them straps. They be strapping us up, man. Woo-hoo. Boy, Pharaoh is a bad man, boy. Hey, y'all sent me to deliver y'all. Yay! but we got to go do this now. No, Which one is it? Double-minded Israel? Then we get out in the wilderness and murmur almost every step of the way. And we think that we're different from those people. You know, we got to be different from the people because we got cell phones. We've got computers. We drive automobiles and trucks. We have sewing machines. We got electric stoves. And you still murmuring.
Praise God. The good word, Shabbat. Anything come to mind? You need my pen?
No.
Yes, sir.
No, well, you know, Pastor talking about murmuring. You know, the word says godliness with contentment is great gain. I mean, you know, like you said, we got all these modern conveniences, and yet we still complain about anything and everything. You know, it's too hot, too cold, the wind ain't blowing right. I mean, I didn't catch enough fish today, or my dog stepped on my toe. I mean, a lot of silly things that we complain about as we sojourn here on this earth. Quite a few of those things, we should be well past a lot of this murmuring that is going on.
Absolutely.
I mean, now we got the murmuring that goes on amongst us as far as dealing with each other. I mean, like we said before, those spirits has come to destroy relationships, and you know, people are murmuring about each other. You know, well, I don't like what so-and-so did or said, and, you know, somebody spanked my child. So they're murmuring about that. Well, you know, your child was bad. He's a little dumb. So somebody needs to pop. You know, but you don't believe in, you know, giving them the rock. So now you got a case of the butt. You know, so something to murmur about. You know, because all kinds of murmurs go on behind closed doors. You know, my past was, you know, getting to Shabbat, the Holy Spirit fronting us all out. Hey, look, I hear what you're saying in the dark, in the secret places. So I'm going to come out and have my man come out here and tell you about yourself. But, you know, so there's a common spirit. We just don't need to do it. You know, because it's common to man. Of course, that's what destroyed our ancestors. So we don't want to fall after the same man. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If you weren't doing whatever you were asked or told to do, what would you be doing? And it would be something for yourself.
Selfishness.
And that's the point of dwelling together, coming together, living together, and being told what to do so that you can be subservient to someone else's idea so that you can gain godliness. You know, as you know that all of you know that I lead projects, you know, obviously because deacon's a deacon, not because I'm anything. And if he had another woman instead of me, then I'd be sitting down listening to her, right? But because of him, I'm able to be given, hey, could you do this, could you do this, could you do this, could you do this? So you know that I know, after years of being aware of women's nature, first within my own self, that I've heard so many countless excuses, and you can always tell when someone is genuine with what they need to do. Or their plan. You know, there's always a balance. And, you know, if a sister can't do it because of such and such, then there's a legit reason that she can't. The rest of it is bogus. The rest of it is excuses and laziness and incapabilities.
Selfish ambition,
yes, sir. So, but still, as you know, if you are someone, and there's few of you that lead women, you can't push people past their selfish ambitions. You cannot convict them, coach them, or motivate them out of their own passivity. It does take a man to do that. And you simply wait on Yah's, the Ruach, and the molding process, just as I've told you I throw myself on the sword all the time. None of you will be there when the Most High Yah judges me, and I don't have anything that I would not share. Nothing. Everything I've done behind closed doors, I really do believe in the word that it will be brought out into the light, and I do really fear the Most High Yah. And so, my sisters, I pray that you know what you have done and said in dark and in the secret will be brought to light. And it is my hope that you would get it right, before it requires that. And sometimes just being brought to light means that you're being made an ass openly in front of many women and you don't even know it. And that is a dynamic of the Holy Spirit, really. Grandma Barb, wasn't I an ass? Is she still here? What's she left? You're thinking, with my own ideas, that's what I mean. Yeah. Wasn't I? Yes, she said yes. That's what I mean by an ass, with my own ideas. Like, didn't you have to endure me, Grandma Barb? Yeah. Yes. Yes. She said, yes, my sister. You see? She really did. And she never pushed me away. And she never shoved me away. And she never was so critical of me that it had me running. You know what I say to Deacon? You know what I say to the Father? I go to him as a little child all the time, and I say to him that your people misrepresent you. Mm. Your people misrepresent you even in my own personal life because I have to try to look for your love, and it ought not be. Because when you're gathering your people by the masses to show them your way, you're banking on us producing what you've put in us, which is the love that you gained us with. And I'm sorry on behalf of all of us that are not representing you with our cattiness, you know.
Come on. Well, you know, Pastor told us the people are coming. You know, years ago, as far as the old shoes go, you know, the people are coming. And, of course, you know, the man of Yah is banking on what he sold into this flock to help, you know, to help him minister to all the people that's come. You know, he Pastor shouldn't have to be repeating themselves to us all the time. And, you know, you can expect us to be at a certain level to help guide these people that's coming in as a strength to him. So that way, he don't have to do it all. Now, of course, we all know Pastor. If we don't step up, well, he's going to step up and do it all by himself. And forget y'all. I'll get these people trained in, and I'll just bypass the rest of you fools.
You ain't going in.
You ain't going in. I mean, you just sit down the sideline. I'll let these people who are on fire for y'all, I'll teach them what to do with it, and they'll get it done without making any excuses, you know, and showing the love of y'all that you should have had. Putting you to shame, putting us to shame in that regard. But, so as far as, you know, representing the Most High, we should have that willingness to be ministers of his love. Because what did Jesus say? By this, all men know you're my disciples, by the love that you have for one another. So sisters, especially, a lot of talk tonight so far, it definitely a serious indictment on the love of the sisters. Like Pastor said, the brother, we got it down. I mean, our love is good. I mean, can we go do better? Of course we can. You know, but if we had a scale here, the balance of justice, you know, the brother's love is, I mean, we done tapped out. We at the bottom, you know, with all the weight that's in our scale, and y'all are like, I think you got a half ounce in yours.
Yes.
You know, it is a shame. It's a shame. Because what is Yah? He's love. And if Yah is in you of a truth, then you should be able to manifest the love of Yah towards your sisters.
True.
And in all ways. I'm sorry, you don't have to be so snaky when somebody has to come to approach you to admonish you, to correct you. Or if they just want to come love you, want to come give you a hug, he's still like a ferocious rock lava. You know, you can't even be loved. I think Teacher Shane was telling me something. You know, he mentioned that women just don't want to be loved. You know, we're all the bride of Christ. Quite a few of the scriptures, especially 1 John, starts off, be loved, be loved, be loved. So can you sisters be loved? Can you receive love? Or is rejection so strong that it blocks out the love of Yah, that you can't receive anything?
And you say to your sons, you say, do you want the rod? And they always say,
no.
And you say, yes, you do. Because look what you've done. And look what you've shown me again. Here we are again, you know. You said the word manifesting Yah's love. And when I think about manifesting Yah's love, he too is in a continual state of love in all of our shame and all of our iniquity and all of our wrongs. You know, mm-hmm. Let's bring it to personal relationships and one-on-ones among sisters. to manifest Yah's love is to say it's okay for you to do different, be different, think different, and even maybe act different. It's okay because I am not your Ruach. I'm your friend. You know, I'm not the one molding you. I'm just your sister. You know, knowing your place and not usurping that, getting it into a place of when you line up and when you measure up, then I will offer my fellowship, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so manifesting Yah's love is literally welcoming others into your world and your life. And I, like all of you, many of you, some of you, I love to be alone. I absolutely love to be alone. I'm most of the time surrounded by children and surrounded by noise. So I really love to be set apart and be alone. But I would not isolate myself so much to the point that I would bring a weight or a burden or deny my love to you, to any of you, if that makes sense. So there is a nature inside of us, Deacon, that does isolate more, you know, you know, maybe it's because we are more dependent creatures. We're not leaders and like out there and forefront like that, but we like to, you know, set ourselves apart and give ourselves some of that alone time. And by, you know, because we're creatures like that, I think that we have to push past the, I don't know, that human nature to make us want to be that way all the time.
Okay.
You know,
well, I mean,
to withdraw. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting some time. If you need some alone time to get right with, yeah, by all means, do it. But when you just want to be alone just because you want to let Satan minister to you, so you get off in the corner and think, like I talk about people thinking, oh, you're not thinking, you know, there's the devil talking to you. You know, I mean, so there's a difference with alone time. That's the quality time that's being used well and righteously for spiritual enrichment for you, as opposed to just then a long selfish time where you just want to mope and just reinforce the wicked natures that you operate in. You know, because like, what did Jesus say over in, let me read this to us, hold on.
Let's see.
Over in Luke 9, verse 55. In this account, the disciples, you know, Jesus was going to a city and they didn't receive him, and the disciples wanted to call down fire on that city. Like Elijah did, you know. But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, "You know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And you know, and they went to another village. You know, so Jesus had to rebuke the disciples because they didn't know what manner of spirit they were operating in. And you know, so he had to correct them. And sisters, you don't know what manner of spirit you're operating in any given time. But the one thing you can operate, one way you can know what you're operating in, is just strive to operate in the love of Yah. Because if, you know, if you're not operating in the fruit of the Spirit, and you know you're not, then you know you're in the flesh. You know, what's the opposite of the fruits of the Spirit? The works of the flesh. But let's at least strive to operate in the fruit of the Spirit. You know, starting off with love. You know, and everybody talk. We talk about spiritual gifts. But how do the gifts work? By love. So they work. So they ain't working, but we know there's a love problem. And ain't everybody else that has a problem. You know what? Who to start with? Everybody say you. Say me. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
So if we want gifts. We want to grow in the Spirit. And let's work on love.
Hallelujah. And I don't know if any of you can just put yourself in that circumstance to say, hypothetically, I was sitting down with my husband and an elder, hearing their hearts as they were a part of relationships that were destroyed because of a woman and her lies. And I can say that. I was sitting down with my husband and an elder as they expressed, women are destroying souls. Women are truly destroying brothers' relationships. Women are affecting their husbands, and their husbands are siding with their wives. So that's why I asked my husband after that conversation that he allowed me to even sit in. By the way, they had a conversation that I wasn't a part of, but he brought me in towards the end. And Deacon said, maybe you could say, you know, a few things about this on your show. And I said to him, would you come on the show? And that's what motivated this, because imagine hearing an elder's heart, you know, really plead. It's like, you
his
can't.
His heart was broken in that.
Broken.
Yeah.
But in strength, so.
In strength, yeah. He just disturbed or troubled by it because
it happens and reoccurs, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a reoccurring pattern, problem. And I'm sure he's probably not the only one that's experiencing that. He's just the only one, he voiced it to me because, you know, Sister Ashley had the show. So that's why he approached me. Well, we started talking, and then he brought that out. And so that's when I asked you to come over to the table.
Yes, sir. When we on the inside of a lot of circumstances with a true, sincere heart to help people, when you're on the inside, it really, it generates sorrow to the Most High Yah so that you could help them. And you also know that there's nothing you could do. Okay, I got a show. I can talk on the microphone. Okay, you got a brother segment. You can come on every few weeks. But ultimately, can we do anything?
No, the person has to be, everybody has to be willing to do with their own heart. Come to the table truthfully. Come before the Most High truthfully. If you're lacking in love, and you're doing these, straight up just doing evil, but let's say this, if you're not being convicted by the Most High, there's nothing, I mean, 1,000 words can be said, nothing's going to change you unless you have the heart to repent, the heart to turn from the evil of your doom. So you can have all these broadcasts, Sabbath messages. I mean, is it falling on deaf ears, or is it just we're dealing with the wheat and the tares playing out? And but if you're getting pricked by what's said, then you are somebody the Most High is dealing with, and so you get your heart right. You strive to change. Well, I don't care how bad you've been. All I know, the blood of Jesus has not lost its cleansing power. And then after you've gotten yourself right, go and strengthen your brother. You know what Jesus said? When you are converted, go and strengthen your brother. And so then, your sisters. So once you get yourself right, you walk in the newness of life, manifest the fruit of the Spirit, and then you see other sisters who are struggling. You go help them to the best of your ability. If they will receive that love that you have. Just receive the Spirit of Yah from you. Come and minister to them. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I was trying to look up something really, really quick. Hold on. Forgive me. We're wrapping it up. I'm looking up a scripture if I could find it for you all. If all you can do is show someone else how to overcome, then do it, and you don't show anyone how to overcome unless you've fallen or, been seen for who you really are or, been wrong, been proud, all those things. So you show someone how to overcome one person at a time. The Lord says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man. Okay, let me skip. It is the will of the Most High Yah that we honor all men. Here it is, 1 Peter 2:17 is what I was looking for. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, and fear the Most High, and honor the King. It says, servants, which we all are, be subject to your masters with all fear. And I want to bring up one more time that I have learned how to approach Deacon Bell with fear. He is the body of Christ deacon, one of them. Okay, this land's deacon, whatever function or role that might be in your life, or if ever in your life, that gift is given to you. And so I, as a woman, would be held in question by the Most High Yah to hinder that, if I hinder that, if I swayed his ear, if I sway his judgment. There's a lot of fear. And it should be for all of us who are married to leadership, or in covenant relationship with leadership, because they do love. And in that love and in that bond, they can trust you or trust you even if you're wrong. And so you have to know your own intent and know what manner of spirit you're of and it takes a lot of self-reflection. And, you know, there's a lot of times, I have one son that's really emotional, and he reminds me often of what I have and what I am to Deacon Bell. There's been many times you didn't want to hear anything I had to say, right?
Right, many a time.
Many a time. But
I listen to you and I just can walk away.
Yeah, listen and walk away. And there's been many times that you knew because of your covenant agreement that you needed to guide me, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Past your own, I don't want to hear a damn thing that she's saying right now, or whatever you might be internally experiencing. Y'all can't see him shaking his head, but, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, because sometimes, I mean, a lot of times, as a husband, the wife's emotional state weighs on you. And you see her going through, and like, in past even talks, you know, when you see your wife going through, sometimes, you know, don't make the mistake of saying, hey, what's wrong? And then she starts dumping and,
right.
and biting you, making you sick with what she said.
Which you don't, by the way. Thank you a lot. You don't ask.
I've learned.
Right.
I've heard what pastors preach, so I had to, hey, I've learned not to say, hey, I look at, oh, I know what that is. I don't know. I'm not falling into that trap again.
Right.
But, you know, but other times when there's a legitimate need, then you have to, as a husband, make yourself available to your wife so she can help her. So she can counsel her, give her what she needs to be able to go in strength to overcome what's trying to overcome her. You know, no matter what the situation is, like when Sister asked whether she was dealing with, we talked and I, counsel her and help her get, process through what she was dealing with. Or, we'll give her the wisdom to deal with the situations and not be overcome by them. And I didn't get bit by nothing these days.
Thank you. We've been through some things, huh?
Yeah, quite a few things.
Hallelujah.
Y'all still good.
Yeah, yeah. It says right here, 1 Peter 2:18, servants be subject to your master with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. I hope you caught that. That means you are to be subject to your master, whether he's good, gentle, or forward. You know what? Yes. A forward actually means crooked. Warped. Like, oh.
Somebody you don't like too well.
Right.
You don't like their approach, the way they do things.
And if you are subject to that master with fear, whether he's right or wrong, crooked, gentle, forward, warped, twisted, all those things, it says, this is thankworthy. That if a man for his conscience towards the Most High endures grief and suffereth wrongfully, what a glory it is. And that is a righteousness and a godliness that I don't see many partaking in.
Mm.
Because we will self-defend ourselves and raise our trumpet in Zion. If anything happens in our world, we cannot endure anything that has been done to us wrongly. I'm introducing this verse to you so it now binds your conscience when you're going through something. You want to be godly, you want to get the Most High Yah's attention, you want his ear to bow towards you and show favor upon you, then you must endure grief even if you suffer wrongfully.
Well, like Paul said, suffer yourself to be the fraud. I mean, a lot of y'all situations, you get attitudes and getting skirmishes with each other because nobody wants to humble themselves and suffer themselves to be the fraud.
Right.
But that situation you brought off there, I mean, hey. Hey, I mean, that's just a good way to live right there.
Right.
if you can deal with somebody that's poor, then you got one that's kind and gentle. You should have no issues. You know, because you look at people who how they view Pastor Dallas preaching, a lot of women get turned off, and they're all like, oh, man, I don't like that man the way he talks. You know, he's too forward. He's too strong. I can't hear that. But the sisters that get here to meet and know Pastor, they know Pastor's not a cruel, hard man. He just loves.
Right.
He loves y'all passionately. He loves his people passionately. It's just the way it is. This way he expresses himself, but they get offended by the preaching dynamic. Pastor don't walk on like that land like he's in the pulpit. And then now Willie, if he has to rise up, oh yeah, most definitely. But he's not like that 24/7. you know, they just get offended at the preaching dynamic.
Well, it says Christ suffered for us. I think we can hone in on that word suffered, again.
Come on. Yeah.
Suffered. But you can't suffer nothing.
Hmm.
Right?
Right.
Can't suffer nothing. It says leaving for us his example that we should follow in his steps. That means we would suffer.
Mm-hmm.
It says who did no sin, neither was guile even found in his mouth. And that definitely means that if this is transpiring in my life, no matter what suffering it may be causing me, even if it's my own self-torment or my own self-rejection because I have this circumstance going on, I should not take my suffering and speak evil into anyone's ear or my husband's ever.
No, you shouldn't.
Yes.
You shouldn't. You should be able to deal with those situations patiently. I mean, it's one thing to cry for help, but another thing just to come just spewing venom in somebody's ear. I mean, you ever had to getting delivered and cast somebody's venom onto somebody?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, so.
And I've cast daggers out of folks' back.
It's spiritual dynamics, spiritual law. That's your Satan is working amongst us. So like, what did Pastor Satan let us have? Last Sabbath, is I'm going to stay down here where the devils are. Did y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Who spirit got pricked by that? Raise your hand. All y'all get pricked? Oh. I didn't see the hand. Okay. I mean, he was like, damn, why am I out there? I'm down here.
Everybody's hand went up, by the way. If you can't see it visually, everybody's hand went up. Hallelujah.
But what Jesus come to do, he dealt with casting devils out of people. So, this old pastor said he wasn't being insulting. He knows where the ministry needs to take place.
I'm like, I don't know how many of y'all have ever come into the tabernacle alone and prayed, but it's pretty peaceful. but let everyone come in and boom, right?
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, that, like Pastor said, no.
There ain't no devil in here until you show up.
Right, no devil in here until you show up. Hallelujah.
How many you bringing with you?
Yes, yes.
How many love the spirits you carry?
Yes. I would, like I went back earlier and said, what can we do? And honestly, you said it too, we can't do anything. And I know my dynamic, I'm just a woman, just as everyone else. I'm weak just as anyone else. I try to come on here with my overcoming stories and try to use this as an example, try to gain, try to be a spiritual one and gain any of you out of the fire. But nevertheless, the tares will be bundled. That's prophecy. It's going to happen. And the wheat will be sifted. So I'm just doing my part to try to express my love to all of you, and so you know that there's a vulnerability and a transparency that should be in your spirit to your Creator, that you should just willingly yield to the wrong inside of you. I mean, willingly yield to communicating it. I mean,
yeah.
Not the self. Yes. Self-justification should be far, far from you, and that is something that I've worked on, honestly. You know, when you see something about yourself, work on it and stay right there until you perfect it and move on. You know, striving for mastery, right? Everyone in the audience enjoy, Deacon?
Absolutely.
Everybody said absolutely. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Anything? Okay. 1 Peter 2:20, he wants me to read. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently, but if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently? This is acceptable with the Most High. I remember years ago coming to you with that verse and asking you what it meant, because you kind of, I know you might not remember what you said to me then, but what does that verse mean? Here, you want me to pull up in my word? I got it. Yeah, because the chat room's scrolling pretty fast. So, right here. What glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently, but if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently? This is acceptable with the Most High.
Well, if you, as far as the first part, when you buffeted for your own faults, it's like for instance, if I'm, like, since I asked, you burnt the food and I rebuke you. You burnt dinner,
and I take it.
You take that patiently. That's when you knew you burned it.
Yes.
But let's say, for instance, you get caught up and blasted. You know, if I call you up and blast you for let's say
something
that you didn't do unjustly to like let's say the sister of Nadia, and I just go off on you, chew you out, and tell you need to go repent and get that right and get that right. So you need to get that right and make that, you know, and right the wrong you did. And all you can do is just take that, you know, you just take it and obey, and hey, I, you know, and maybe later if I come back to you, say, hey, so why did you do that tonight? Well, honey, I didn't. Why come you didn't tell me that when I was going off on you? You just took it patient.
Like,
you know, you were humbly, just let me chew you out. You took it, and even though you weren't wrong.
It says that's godliness.
Yeah, that's godliness. You
yeah.
know, ungodliness is when you rise up. Hey, don't you be telling me that.
I didn't do that.
I didn't do that. Justifying yourself. Show how wicked you are.
Like Pastor, she's the example before how he's taken correction, and
yeah.
some of the old saints have seen him take
mm-hmm.
correction. No one has seen him take correction in the past however many years, if they haven't been around or if they're, you know
he'd
what I mean?
He'd be the same way.
Yeah.
Because when I'm, that was always you said that corrected Pastor or unjustly about the trees that were planted. And then like Pastor said, he asked him later on, so why did you do that? In fact, those trees were already here. And, you know,
he didn't plant them.
Yeah, he just took the correction. He didn't rise up, didn't change nothing. He just sat there, took it, and very maturely, and being an example to us. He said, what if he acted like we did? Some of us do. He used himself as an example. So I don't act like you act when you get corrected.
Right.
He was a righteous example of that.
I have seen you buffeted for your faults, and I've seen you take it patiently. You know, I don't want to say many times. I can't even remember any of them at this time, but when it has happened, I've never even talked to you about it because I'm observing, right,
mm-hmm.
as we do, as women do. I'm observing and I'm learning, and that's enough. That's a teaching tool in itself. So I didn't have to go back to you to ask for more, if that makes sense. But I did want to ask you, has anyone ever told you to shut up?
Yeah.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
So you're
yes,
telling me you know how to be in authority and under authority.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for joining me tonight, Deacon Bell.
Yes, ma'am. You know, I had a scripture I wanted to read. Well, hold on a minute. It was one, we're talking about relationships with husbands and wives and things. You know, this go to Sirach chapter 25 verse 1.
All right. Sirach 25 verse 1. I Brother Samuel got a lead on this thing, y'all. 25:1. You know how quick he is on the lines then, like, wow, the scriptures. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
Read that.
Yes, sir.
That's the scripture we have up in our house.
Yes.
And I think that scripture, that part that says was the last part of that verse is definitely us. But go ahead and read it.
In three things I was beautified and set up beautiful both before God and men. I'm going to start over. In three things I was beautified and set up beautiful both before God and men. The unity of brethren, the love of neighbors, and a man and a wife that agree together.
Hallelujah. Now we got a good marriage, but and I can't say this all because of me or whatever, but you look at the ministry, that's what I'm going to say. At least I can say I have a great covenant. Look at the ministry we're in. Learn so much from Pastor Dow. When we got our marriage counselor, what did he tell us? Communicate him with Mother Carol.
Yes.
And of course, Pastor has you in his house under his wing, under Mother Carol, teaching you and guiding you and everything, training you up. So I can say, I know I got a good wife, a good marriage, because I strive to the best of my ability to follow the principles and things the pastor has taught us, on all levels, to the best of my ability. Some things I do well in, some things I don't. Still have to, correct myself in and continue to grow as well too, but I use that verse because since we know each other, you know your boundaries. I know what to share with you, what not to share with you. I think that's just a good, and you got a healthy, godly fear, and don't ask the things that you don't need to ask, and I don't bring to you the things that you don't need to hear as well either. So I think that agreement is a good manifest very well in our marriage. And I'm also too.
Grandma Barb was. I was gonna call her in here, Deacon, but she told me even when we were betrothed, she had told me a comment that Pastor had made. I don't even know if you remember this. This was so many years ago, and I'm down and out preaching. And she said he really complimented you were brother Doug for more years than you've been deacon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he really complimented Brother Doug and said he was very Christ-like amongst the saints on the land, and that he was a man with no guile, you know, in his lips. So I was going to ask Grandma Barbara to come and say it so that you guys can hear that impactful statement about my husband, but she's occupied in the back. I'll give you enough time to find what you're looking for. As we wrap it up. All right. So thank y'all. I'm going to play a music break while he gets his concluding thoughts together. Thank y'all for your time. Here we go. I like this song. For listening to tonight, sister with Sister Ashley and Deacon Bell. Deacon Bell, go ahead and say conclusion song. Thank you so much for coming to be with me, sir.
My pleasure, as always, been on the Sister to Sister. So bless you all, sisters. But, thought I wanted to end with was this. You know, we've talked about relationships being destroyed and everything. One thing, sister, when you come to your husband, you know, you should go to your husband. You should. He's your head. That's your right. You need to do that. But I will tell you, make sure when you go to your husband that you're not misrepresenting anybody. And husbands, make sure you're listening, listening with discernment. So when your wife is speaking to you, you're hearing a matter from her. Maybe, you need to be discerning every word. Discerning every word, making sure that she's on point and that she's not trying to sway you and manipulate you with knowing that she's going to be able to, use her words to sway the judgment, if she's misrepresenting in any kind of way. Because all it does take, you change a few words up, and then you bite off on it, if she has an ill intent, then she's going to get what she wants.
you know, and seeking to destroy somebody, if that's their intent, you know. But I pray none of our sisters really come with the evil intent. But, and however, there needs to be some changes in how sisters are operating when they're speaking to their husbands, in that their words are being used to destroy relationships. And so I hope to hear more on things being improved as opposed to being destroyed going forward. You know, I hope any other I talk to, you know, going forward, that we'll mature in our conversation and home, and that'll manifest amongst us as a body. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
End with that scripture.
Yeah. Oh, no, sir. I don't have anything else to say. Thank you so much. Sister Sakita, do we have our old outro? Deacon's going to conclude with a scripture. Do we have our old? What did we used to listen to? It is good to give thanks. That was the one I was looking for the beginning. Do you remember? It is good to give thanks unto Yahweh. That one. But anywho, we'll go out with the shofar. Deacon Bell, thank you so much. I hope it's not your last time with me. But, you know, it's my third time asking him. And I space it out, you know. I mean, like, months apart. Right, Mother Jennifer? Well, one time she even got a request in there, you know. And he said, no.
Bless you,
Mother Jennifer. All right.
Hallelujah. All right. You know, we talked a lot about love and everything. So I do have a scripture I want to close in the show with. In Jeremiah 31:3. Yahweh hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee.
Hallelujah.